On this day, June 8, 1789, James Madison introduces proposed amendments to the U.S. Constitution, which become the Bill of Rights. And the question is, why do we need a Bill of Rights? We'll talk about that. Let's get started. On this day, June 8, 1789, James Madison introduces proposed amendments to the U.S. Constitution, which become the Bill of Rights. Now, the question is, why do we need a Bill of Rights? So let's give a little background. The Founding Fathers met in the summer of 1787 to create a new form of government for these United States. Now, the preamble to the Constitution declares that one of the purposes of this new Constitution was to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. That's us today, the posterity. George Washington and James Madison called the convention a miracle. They were amazed that people with diverse backgrounds were able to come up with a document, the sole purpose of which is to protect the people through an ingenious system of checks and balances. Yet, as great as that document was, there were a few in the convention who couldn't bring themselves to sign the document. These men were Governor Randolph of Virginia and George Mason, another Virginian and the famous author of the Virginia Bill of Rights. Now, their beef was that the document didn't contain a Bill of Rights. Now, once the Constitution was complete, it was sent to the states for ratification, and heated debates followed, especially in New York and Virginia. Now, one of the main arguments of those who opposed ratification was that the Constitution lacked a Bill of Rights, just as Mason and Randolph had said in the convention. Now, those for the Bill of Rights said that the Constitution would be dangerous without one, and those who were against the Bill of Rights argued it would be dangerous with one. So, both thought it would be dangerous with or without. So let's look at both arguments real quickly. Patrick Henry was the main proponent for a Bill of Rights. His argument was this: history proves government will assume just about any power unless it was told hands off in no uncertain terms. And that's why he said we needed a Bill of Rights. However, Alexander Hamilton, in Federalist No. 84, took the opposite view. Here's what Hamilton's logic was, arguing against Patrick Henry's ideas. He says, "I go further and affirm that bills of rights, in the sense and to the extent in which they are contended for, are not only unnecessary in the proposed Constitution, but would even be dangerous." Now, notice Hamilton said dangerous, and here's was his reasoning behind that. This is why he thought it would be dangerous. He goes on by saying, "They would contain various exceptions to powers not granted, and on this very account would afford a colorable pretext to claim more than were granted. For why declare that things shall not be done which there is no power to do? Why, for instance, should it be said that the liberty of the press shall not be restrained, when no power is given by which restrictions may be imposed?" Those are the words of Alexander Hamilton. Powerful arguments. Two good men, two different sides. And both had points. Well, we know how it went. Eventually, the states ratified the Constitution, after which no time was wasted satisfying those who demanded a Bill of Rights. James Madison got the ball rolling at the very first meeting of the Congress. The father of the Constitution now became the assembler of the Bill of Rights. Well, the states submitted 189 suggestions. Madison boiled them down. And on this day, June 8, 1789, he introduced 12 proposed amendments to Congress for their approval. Now, the 12 were submitted to the states in September of 1789, and they ratified 10 of them. And the Bill of Rights went into effect in December of 1791. The preamble to the Bill of Rights sums up the spirit and goal of the Bill of Rights. Here's what it says. "The conventions of a number of the states having, at the time of adopting the Constitution, expressed a desire, in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers, that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added." Notice the words misconstruction, abuse of its powers, and declaratory and restrictive clauses. It was about restricting government. And because history proved that governments go out of bounds and tyrannize people, people didn't have confidence in their government. And that's why the clause ends by saying this: and as extending the ground of public confidence in the government will best ensure the beneficent ends of its institution. In other words, the reason the Bill of Rights was put in there was not only to limit government, but also to give people confidence in the government, because they'd be confident with these protections that the government wouldn't use too much power and tyrannize the people. Well, the Bill of Rights is intended, again, to assure Americans that their government will protect their liberties by staying within the confined limits of the Constitution. On this day, June 8, 1789, James Madison introduced 12 proposed amendments to the Congress for their approval, and it eventually became our hallowed Bill of Rights.